Let me speak to one of the local Labour councillors, Judith Blakeman. Judith Blakeman, good morning.
Good morning.
It seemed very disorganised on the television when we were watching it from a distance.
Yes, it's even more disorganised on the ground. I mean, there was an emergency meeting of the Residents Association last night, and it was quite a packed meeting considering it was called so quickly. And the first thing they complained about after the general anger is the fact that the council is not coordinating anything right from when the first shelter was opened at 3 a.m. in the night of the fire, which was run by the Latimer Community Church and the Residents Association, even to today, and it's volunteers that are just hanging in by their fingertips, keeping the thing going. The council seemed to be stuck at the town hall, doing very little apart from trying to find homes to rehouse all the residents who've been displaced, which is admirable, but they, you know, there are needs on the ground as well.
And is there any group or organisation there who can take control of it, as opposed to just passers-by and volunteers trying to organise it?
Well, the Kensington and Chelsea Volunteer Bureau are putting in a fantastically sterling effort, but, you know, on the plus side, we're getting so much help and so many people are pouring into the area, but that they're quite overwhelmed.
The rehousing of the people, your leader, Jeremy Corbyn, is demanding the requisition of empty luxury properties to house survivors. The Labour leader is reported in the Times today as saying the fire, which obviously engulfed this area, is in a wealthy area of London, the London Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. He says it's a tale of two cities. Mm-hmm. Properties must be found, if necessary, requisitioned. The idea of land banking, where rich people hold on to empty properties to see if their value is going to go up, that needs to stop. That's a pretty drastic step to take a property off people to give it to someone else.
Well, it's an interesting idea. I mean, I agree it would be very difficult, but on the other hand, this borough is just completely being hollowed out by foreign investors buying flats in the borough and then just leaving them. I mean, they're just using them for investment purposes. And after such a horrific fire like this, and so many people from the neighbouring blocks evacuated, sleeping in sports centres and places like that, to see all these luxury flats, which, you know, they have no intention of ever using, lying empty, is just rubbing salt into the wounds.
How are you going to house these people who are in such a plight at the moment?
Well, with very great difficulty. I was interested, I was watching the Commons committee meeting last afternoon, and the housing minister gave an assurance that the survivors of the tower will be rehoused within the local community. That's fine, but there's an awful lot of other people who've lost their homes because they're next door to the tower, and they've been given no such assurance. And beyond that, we don't know how many survivors there are going to be, but there are going to be an awful lot of deaths. So unless they replace the same number of flats as were in Grenfell Tower, then they'll be reducing the amount of social housing even more.
Consecutive councils and consecutive governments are going to have a lot of questions to answer. Those who are involved in, I suppose, rebuilding or revamping the building, they'll be looking very closely at their contribution as well. But this goes back a long way, however, and the public inquiry will have to ask some very difficult questions.
I hope they will, and I hope they will take serious account from the three community groups that represent people on this estate, the Residents Association, the Grenfell Action Group and the Grenfell Leaseholders Association, because they've been arguing for years about these problems, along with us as local councillors, and our concerns have simply been swept away. And, you know, we're really pleased that this public inquiry is announced, because at long last we will have an opportunity to be listened to with respect rather than being treated with contempt.
But if this goes right up to government level, it just doesn't go up to Conservative government level, it goes up to Labour government level as well.
Well, the Labour government ceased in 2010. The serious fire concerns began to be raised in 2013 when the first power surges knocked out all the electrical goods up to the 10th floor.
So you don't feel there's any responsibility going back as far as the last Labour government?
Well, I'm sure there probably is, yes.
But all of that has to be looked at, doesn't it?
Of course it does, yes.
Now, in the meantime, the Prime Minister has been down to talk to the emergency services, and they deserve all the praise and recognition that we can all give them. Were you disappointed she didn't talk to the people?
I understand that it was a quick visit and the logistics of it, but I do think that she should have talked to representatives of the Residents Association and of the volunteers. I think that was a huge mistake. I think possibly talking to the victims might have been a bit harrowing, and she doesn't seem to be the kind of person that does empathy.
She certainly comes across like that. She absolutely, I don't know the woman, but she comes across an incredibly cold individual when you see her on screen, or when you, for example, see her dealing with the like of this. I could be wrong. I can only judge on what I'm, again, seeing on a television screen. But she didn't talk to the people on the ground. Might it be because she was afraid that there's so much anger that they may have turned on her?
Well, I mean, if she'd been in an uncontrolled situation, that would certainly have happened. But she could have had a private word with representatives of the residents and the volunteers, and that would have been perfectly acceptable. I mean, I have to say, the Residents Association are very angry also with the mayor and with the leader of the Labour Party, because neither of those two have spoken to the Residents Association either. And they were the first people on the ground setting up the first respite centre.
Do you think it would have been handled differently if it had been in a very posh building?
Oh, I'm sure it would.
That's a sad reflection on society, isn't it?
Yes. It's a very sort of two-state, two-community place, Kensington and Chelsea. It is the very, very rich and the very, very poor.
But some
of the very, very rich are really mucking in amazingly.
Yes, that's what to get to. There is a community spirit. It's not, of course, just coming from those who would be in some way challenged in terms of making their next pound.
It's a great
community spirit.
Absolutely. In fact, as I said, it's overwhelming, and it's becoming hard to control. And the weather here is lovely. It has been ever since the fire, and there are so many people on the streets just trying to offer help, and it's, you know, too difficult to coordinate. We need people who have experience of this kind of thing.
This is why I go back to the point that I would have expected two jeeploads of professional soldiers to be there just to be organising it, to be in uniform and to be pointing people in the right direction. But maybe they will and maybe they won't. Judith, good speaking to you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Okay, fine. No problem. Thank you very much.
That's Judith Blakeman, who's one of the Labour councillors there in Kensington.